Amen. Notice in verse 1, chapter 13. He says, "How long wilt thou forget me?" Again, this is a psalm by David, I believe, and probably when he was being hunted by Saul in the mountains there in Israel. And he said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, and lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity that you've given us to assemble together here this evening. God, we thank you for your love and mercy to us. We thank you for your kindness. God, we ask that your blessings and anointing be upon the reading of the Scripture. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice with me now as we come to these verses tonight. And again, I believe this is a psalm of David. As we began here in this passage and began looking at this, we find that it begins with mourning. And basically, it ends with rejoicing. And we find that you could divide the psalm up into three areas. Verses 1 and 2 is dealing with mourning and sorrow and crying. And then verses 3 and 4 is dealing with David's prayer, his supplication, his appeal to God Almighty. And then in verses 5 and 6, we find rejoicing. We find David's testimony, we find him praising God, and we find him singing. But we begin here with the first two verses with the issue of mourning. He says in verse 1, he says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" As we begin in this psalm, the word "how long" here is repeated four times in two verses. It begins with the issue of sorrow and crying and mourning. And you know, at one time or another, we've all have asked the question, you know, "How long, Lord? Now, how long are you going to allow me to be in this situation?" Whether it be sickness or finances or whatever the case may be, we've all asked that. And this phrase, or something similar to that, is used many times throughout the Scriptures. In Revelation 6 and verse 10, we find that those who were martyred, those who are mentioned there, they cry out unto God, and they say, "How long? Lord, when are you going to avenge our blood?" And the Lord basically tells them to wait a short time, that there's others that's got to go through certain things, and he says he's going to take care of the problem, and it will get taken care of, obviously, one day. And this question, again, has been asked in Psalms 88, verse 14. Now, I'm not going to turn to all of these, but it's asked in Psalms 89, verse 46, and many other places in the Bible. Job, through the things that Job went through in chapter 13, verse 24. Job also asked the same question. He said, "Lord, how long am I going to be in this misery? How long am I going to be suffering? How long are these things going to be in my life?" In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, in verse 17, you don't have to turn there, but in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 17, you can read there and you'll find that, and you need to pick up the context of the chapter from verse 14 down through about verse 20. But he said in verse 17, the Lord said, "Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils shall trouble, and trouble shall befall them." And so as we read verses 1 and 2, we find that here in verse 1 again, he said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever?" And again, sometimes in our agony and in the things that we're going through in our minds, we feel like God has deserted us. And we feel like that it's a long period of time. You know yourself that if you're having a good time, time seems to fly. But if you were sick, and especially if you were going through a night of sickness, or if you were sitting in jail, time seems like it just creeps along, does it not? And so we've all probably thought that as well, that this thing is going to last forever. So David, when he cries out, he said, "How long wilt thou forget me?" And in other words, in his mind, he's saying, "Lord, why aren't you listening to me and answering my prayer?" And again, this is an expression of the agony of the mind that thinks itself to be deserted by God. And I'm sure that you've been there before. And if you haven't, we'll have you to come and confess your sins this evening. And we've all, saying, "Lord, how long? How long is this going on? And what is going on? Why is it my enemy seems to have the victory over me? Lord, it seems like you're not listening to my prayer." And then he said in verse 2, he said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, and forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" And again, it seems like the Lord has hid his face from us. He's abandoned us sometimes when he really hasn't. Then he says in verse 2, and he said, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And so David knew that all of his plans and schemes would come to an end without the Lord. There's no way that we can work them out ourselves. There's many times we try to work our own little plans out. We got our little plans and schemes and how that we're going to do things. And we counsel our own selves a lot of times and think, maybe this will work and maybe that will work, you see. And David realized that his plans and his counsels would not work and that he needed the Lord. And then we find that as we come to verse 3 and 4, he begins praying to God. Notice in verse 3, he said, "Consider and hear me." In other words, he's saying he's not going to allow the Lord to forget him. And he's going to bring himself before the Lord. And he said, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." David, I believe he feared that his trials would end his life. And we know that the sleep of death, the sleep here, resembles a corpse. And many times in the Bible that death is compared to like someone being asleep. The Bible talks about when a saint dies that they're basically just asleep. And I believe that David was fearing that if this thing continued and went on, that it would bring him to his grave. So he said in verse 3, he said, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." And David is basically saying, "Lord, my end is coming." And by the way, write down Jeremiah 51, verse 39, dealing with the sleep of death there, Jeremiah 51, 39. And I believe that David is saying, "Lord, my time is coming. My end is near unless you lighten my eyes." Now, what does it mean in verse 3 when he's crying out, "Lord, consider me and hear me, and O Lord my God, enlighten mine eyes." Lighten mine eyes. Well, he's saying in these verses, he's saying, "Lord, I want you to revive me. I want you to renew. Give me life. Renew life within me. Put brightness in my eyes again." In other words, Lord, give me a charge. Lift me up. I want you to notice with me in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Notice with me in Ephesians in chapter 5. If you're taking notes this evening, you might want to jot down the book of Ezra. In the book of Ezra, chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. And there's a passage there that basically dealing with the same thing. The children of Israel had been in bondage for many years. And that would be Ezra chapter 9. I may turn there and read those two verses to you. Ezra chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. And he says this. I'm going to read in Ephesians just a moment. Another passage that you might want to jot down is in Psalms 34 and verse 5, dealing with this thing about lightening the eyes. In Ezra, he said in verse 8, he said, chapter 9, "And now for a little space, grace hath been shown forth showed rather from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage, for we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage. The children of Israel had been in bondage, and they understood what it was like to be in bondage. And so they were coming back to their homeland to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And so in Ezra chapter 9, the Lord had brightened their eyes. He had revived them. He had given them a sense of renewed life within them. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, He says here, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepeth. And He says, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So we are to wake up from the sleep. We are to rise from the dead. And He said, and Jesus Christ shall give us life. He's talking to the believers in the book of Ephesians and in chapter 5. So coming back with me to the book of Psalms, we see that David feared that his trials would maybe even bring him to the end of his life. And so he said this in verse 3. He said, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Then in verse 4, he continues to pray, and he said, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Now again, as we progress through the book of Psalms, we see repetition. We've seen some of the same prayers that's been called out by David or another writer. And still yet, God seemed fit to put this in His Word for you and I. Now, we find that in these two verses, verse 3 and 4, in verse 4, the idea here is evil triumphing over good, and that was feared by the psalmist. He did not want to see that. So as he prays, he said, Lord, I want you to consider me. I want you to lighten mine eyes. And he said, Lord, I want you to give victory over the enemy. He did not want to see evil triumph over good in any way. And the enemy would be able to rejoice and boast in that. Now, as we come to the last two verses of this chapter, we've come from mourning or sorrow to the issue of prayer or supplication in verses 3 and 4. And then the last two verses, we step into the arena of praise and singing. And again, it starts off with mourning, ends up with singing. He said in verse 5, He said, but I have trusted in Thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. David pours out his problems before the Lord, verse 1 and 2. And then David brings his petitions before God in verse 3 and 4. And then in verse 5 and 6, as the psalm is closed, David again ends this psalm with praise and singing to God Almighty. Now, I want you to notice in verse 5, he said, but I have trusted in Thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And again, we may use a little repetition as we come through this book, but I don't think that will hurt us. I know that that's the way that I learn, by going over and over things. But I want you to come back with me. The verse 5 in Psalms 13 is dealing with the issue of trust. And you know what? When you have problems come into your life, and if you deal with them in the right way, you know, there are those we have sorrow and mourning in our life. What that does, sorrows and mournings, turns us to praying. Well, what does prayer usually do? We don't always get the answers we think we should get from God, do we? But prayer brings about a situation where we have communion with God. And what does prayer do? Well, God answers our prayers the way that we think they should be answered. If we prayer leads us to trusting God Almighty. And then trusting God leads us to praising Him. In other words, when we have troubles in our life, sorrows and tribulations and trials that come in our life, If we go to God in prayer, as what is exactly what we're supposed to do, then as we go to God in prayer and communion with Him, then through prayer, that leads us to the place where that we can trust God. We can put everything in His hands, and we can trust Him with that. Once we begin to trust God, the last verse of Psalms chapter 13 in verse 6 is the issue of praising Him. It's hard to praise the Lord unless you have trusted Him to begin with. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I want to pick out a few verses out of this chapter. Well, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to read maybe one verse from this chapter dealing with the issue of trust. But I challenge you to begin verse 1 and begin reading it. King Jehoshaphat. There are several other peoples that come up against them, other nations, like Moab and Ammon. They gather themselves together against Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. And what does he do? He turns to the Lord. They turn to God. They begin as a whole congregation in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. They turn to the Lord because of this invading army. And they began to trust in the Lord. In other words, they plead with the Lord. They're saying, we have no way out. We cannot win this battle, and Lord, unless you intervene. Now I want you to notice with me that as you come down to verse 12, it says here, this is what they said after turning to God. They said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now you see, Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel had got into between a rock and a hard spot. They could not win the victory. They could not defend against this invading armies. And so what they did, they basically said to God, they said, it's up to you, Lord. We're going to trust you. We cannot win this battle. We don't know what to do, and we're going to trust in you. And then the latter part of verse 15, we find that it says, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord. One of the men told the nation, said, the battle is not yours, it's His Lord's. And I want you to notice, and verse 5 of Psalms 13 will tie in with verse 6, when we talk about trusting and praising the Lord. But I want you to notice as we come down in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this time I want you to notice with me that in verse 22, the Bible says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. In other words, the Bible says that when they begin to praise the Lord, when they begin to sing, when they begin to rejoice in the Lord, that is when the victory came about. You see, when they saw the enemy, God had already destroyed the enemy before they ever got there. And so what they began, it took about 3 days for them to pick up the spoil. But what is the point in this? The point is that they had a problem, and they turned unto God. They didn't turn to their own wisdom or their own abilities or whatever. They turned to the Lord, totally and completely, put themselves in the hands and care of God Almighty, and God fought their battle, you see. And they reaped of the spoils of that battle. They never even lifted up a sword. God destroyed the enemy. Now, turn back with me, please, to Psalms chapter 13. And notice here as we bring this to a close. He says here in verse 5, He said in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. I know some may be sitting here and think, but David don't have the problems I have. Job didn't go through anything like what I'm going through. You see, a lot of people read these verses and they walk away from them as if they've read the newspaper. This is the Word of God, amen, church. And when we come, God gave us these Psalms to read, to meditate upon, and to sing. And He says here in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. You say you got more problems than David. David is running from his life, hid out in the mountains, someone trying to kill him. He had enemies all of his life. All of his life he had enemies, you see. And there was a whole lot more in David's life than killing Goliath. And he spent a lot of his life running from Saul. He spent part of his life running from his own son, hid out, waiting for God to bring deliverance. David had a lot of the tragic things that came into his life. And he said in verse 5, now here's how he closes this psalm. He said, "I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." With all the problems and all the enemies and all the things, he said, "I'm going to trust God. I'm going to go to God. I'm not going to trust in my own heart, my own counsels. I'm going to trust the Lord." And then he said in verse 6, he said, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Turn with me to Psalms 118. What was it that the children of Israel did immediately when they came out of the promise, out of the land of bondage, headed toward the promised land? They sang unto the Lord. They sang praises unto the Lord. That's in Exodus chapter 15. The entire chapter is dealing with that. Notice in Psalms 118, we find here that as we come to verse 14, he said, "The Lord, notice, is my strength and song, and is become my salvation." The Lord is my strength, and He is my song, and He has become my salvation. Turn with me, please, to James chapter 5. Notice with me in James chapter 5, and we'll close in Colossians chapter 3. You see, these verses are very, very important to you and I. Notice with me in James, they're going to determine whether you're going to fall apart or not. That's what they're going to determine. Notice with me in James chapter 5. James 5, one verse, he says this. He said in verse 13, he says, "Is any among you afflicted?" In other words, you got troubles. He said, "Let him pray." "Is any merry?" He said, "Let him sing psalms." "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Why did I read this? He said, "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." When a person truly trusts in the Lord and turns unto God, then he has within him to be able to sing the songs of Zion. There is that joy and that trust and that peace that enters into the heart. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We'll close in this chapter in Colossians chapter 3. You see, singing is a product of joy and is a part of our worship. It is a part of our worship. That's one of the reasons when we come together, we just about every time we sing the songs of Zion. Why? It's a part of our worship, but it is also a product of joy. That trust and that peace and that joy that God has placed inside by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we manifest that through singing. Notice with me Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to close here in this chapter. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. He said in verse 14, he said, "Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." By the way, he says, put on charity. I began thinking here a few days ago, I may preach on this Sunday, the fruit of charity out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Quite interesting. But he tells us here in verse 15, and he said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." Verse 16 is a verse I'm after. He said this. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." In these verses, he tells us, he said that we're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So David begins the psalm with Saul. In the middle of the psalm, he speaks of supplication. And as he ends the psalm, he's singing and praising the Lord because he has the faith to trust in God, to believe that God will give him the victory in his life. David, even though the verse wasn't written down at that time, David knew, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So we have another wonderful, great psalm that is given to us by the great psalmist, David. David the king. David the believer. David the soldier. All right, we're going to stop right there.